All right, group activity. Group one, what is the difference between a material and a product? So yeah, material would be wood as an example, okay. Yeah. So that's exactly what it is. And again, remember, a material could be a composite, so it could be a plastic or a fabric, what have you. But whenever we take the materials and turn them into something commercially viable or useful, then it becomes a product. Very good. Group number two, why does it generally take more enthalpy or energy to ignite a solid than a gas or a liquid? Where did you come up, group two?
Is it because the temperature for ignition is greater, like in solids than gases and liquids?
That is part of it, but what do we have to do to most solids?
Turn them into?
What do we have to do to the most solids in order to get them to ignite?
Physically convert it.
We have to convert it to gas, but what is it a chemical process for most, or just a physical change?
Chemical.
So it's a chemical. So we have to, again, remember pyrolysis or thermal decomposition is the process by which it takes a lot more energy, whereas with gas, with liquids, we only have to change it. A physical takes a lot less energy. So again, so with your solids, we generally have to chemically change them in order to get them to go. And so we have a thing called heated gasification, which takes a lot more heat energy to convert a gram of a solid fuel into a gaseous state than, let's say, a liquid. Some of the liquids will convert into a gaseous stage well below zero, well below freezing. So that is the primary method behind that. Group number three, what is the difference between spontaneous ignition and piloted ignition of a solid?
Piloted ignition is when you're directly applying to an object or material, and then spontaneous is collective heat in it over time, bringing it to its flash point where it's the same process, just slower and over time.
Yeah, so exactly. So piloted ignition is an arc, a spark, or a flame, like you said, is impinging on the fuel, bringing it up to its ignition temperature, whereas auto ignition, you're infusing that material or that solid with a ton of heat energy, and it incubates itself, and then it will reach ignition temperature without an external influence. So like spontaneous combustion, oily rags would be an example of that, where the oily rags build up heat, and by building up the heat, and eventually can go into smoldering, then go into flaming combustion, or infusing a lot of radiant heat into something, so like a flashover or magnifying glass hitting a piece of paper. You know, sun's rays hitting it, there's no external source, it brings it up, it elevates that surface temperature of that fuel to its ignition temperature, and it will ignite without an external source to it. Good. Four, why is it advisable not to put water on burning metals?
So any water trapped under the surface of burning metal can erupt into steam, hurling molten metal everywhere. And some metals can burn so hot that they can break the molecular bonds of the water, essentially turning the hydrogen atoms into fuel.
Exactly. So again, it breaks that molecular bond of the water, molecule, and the hydrogen stripped off as fuel, and then the oxygen is the oxidizing agent, and that's why they burn so violently. Good job. The tendency of oily rags to ignite spontaneously depends on the type of oil. Why are many vegetable oils and fish oils far more dangerous than our mineral or lubricating oils?
Because they react with oxygen in the room at room temperature.
Yeah.
And they're also very fibrous material, so it provides an extensive surface area for the reaction to occur. And also the rags, if they're crumbled up, can find the heat.
Yeah. So yeah, you hit it right on the head. One, that a lot of these organic fish oils and stuff like that could start oxidizing at room temperature. So again, like you said, mixed with a rag or cotton rags or what have you, it increases that surface area, and then the pile of rags being together, linseed oil and stuff like that, will build up the heat and it will ignite. Yeah, so that's why those are particularly dangerous. All right, good. Good job on that. So let's go ahead and do a quick summation of what to look for on the quiz. So we're going to go ahead and do just a quick review of areas I want you to concentrate in preparation for the quiz on solid fuels. Okay. At what about temperature does wood reach its auto ignition temperature? Wood reach its auto ignition temperature. It's going to be one of the following. Is it 500, 750, 950, or 1100 degrees? This is auto ignition temperature, not to be confused with ignition temperature using a piloted source. At what temperature does a cellulose gasification begin? So when we see cellulose start off gassing, is it, and these particular ones are in Fahrenheit, not Celsius. Is it 480 degrees Fahrenheit, 635 degrees Fahrenheit, 770 degrees Fahrenheit, or 920 degrees Fahrenheit? Again, where gasification begins with our cellulose types. At what temperature range does wood reach its piloted ignition temperature? Again, this will be a range. Is it 225 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit, 300 to 550 degrees Fahrenheit, 570 to 750 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1,000 to 1,230 degrees Fahrenheit? Again, piloted ignition temperature. Because of its low melting point, which of the following metals is used by fire investigators as a temperature marker? Is it lithium, titanium, magnesium, or aluminum? So what do you think is used in construction? A lot. So that is the key, a melting point. From a fire viewpoint, which of the following is the most important classes of natural material used in the manufacturing of household products? Excuse me. Is it the nylons, the cellulosic materials, wools, or silks? Again, from a fire viewpoint, which one of those would be the most important? And we talked about it, and the book is very specific on that. How are polymeric molecules and monomer units in animal proteins in wool, leather, and silk connected? Are they cellulose strings, peptide linkages, amino acids, or oligomer blocks? Again, this is for polymeric molecules in animal proteins, like in wool, silk, or connected. So you need to know how animal things are put together. protein-based materials. It's a very specific polymeric molecule structure, and it's specific to those. Metals, especially hot metals, can react rapidly exothermically with water to form sodium hydroxide, phosgene, hydrogen, or acetylene. We talked about exothermically, what is the big hazard with these metals? What does it produce when it exothermically reacts with water? The big, bad one. Once a solid combustible is ignited, its contribution to fire intensity is determined by three related parameters. Which one of the following is not one of these parameters? Is it the mass of the combustible, the rate in which the unit area of the burning surface is consumed, the rate at which the flame spread over the fuel surface, increasing the burning surface area, or the combustible's ability to ignite items in the vicinity? So which one is not one of the parameters? So out of those four, three are directly related, and one is not related to it at all. The carbides of lithium, sodium, potassium, calcium, and barium react with water to form what hazardous compound? Is it hydrogen, sodium hydroxide, phosgene, or acetylene? So the carbides produce one thing, and we talked about that earlier when when the carbides of these particular metals form, it forms a specific kind of gas. And our last, in one of our quizzes, we said it had between 2.7 to 81% flammability limit. It starts with an A. What additive is filled into cellulosic materials to increase their fire resistance by reducing their tendency to smolder? Again, so that would be like cotton materials. Is it ammonium phosphate, borax, bromine atoms, or antimony oxide? Again, with cellulosic materials, so our cotton basically material, clothing. Which additive is impregnated into wood to increase its fire resistance by promoting char formation? Is it borax, bromine atoms, antimony oxide, or ammonium phosphate? What do we add to wood to increase its resistance to burning by promoting char formation? What does a high limiting oxygen index indicate? A material that is more difficult to ignite and or burns less vigorously, if at all? A material that will burn with no oxygen in the atmosphere? A material that requires 100% oxygen in order to burn? Or a material that is easily ignitable and burns vigorously? So what do you think the term high limiting oxygen index indicates? What do you think the term means? Anybody? If it's a high limiting oxygen index, what's that usually mean? We talked about it in the first module of the first half of this class last week. We talked about if the oxygen is limited at a high level, meaning that it's greatly reduced, what's going to happen? Remember, we talked about if we add more nitrogen. So remember, the atmosphere is 21% oxygen, right? So if we go and then the balance is nitrogen, right? So if we go to about 83%. Nitrogen, what's that do to the oxygen limiting index? Increases it, right? So if we increase that oxygen limiting index, so what's going to happen to those fuels? What's going to happen to them? Are they going to ignite or not ignite?
Not ignite.
So maybe not ignite or burn very slowly. So whenever the oxygen content is being limited and you have that higher that index, the fuels are going to not burn as vigorously, or maybe not at all, depending on what they are. So be aware of what a limiting oxygen index is, and know what that means and how it relates to burning of solid fuels. That's critical. What does an increase in the atmospheric pressure have on the rate of flame spread over a solid surface? No effect, extinguishes the fire, increases the rate of flame spread, decreases the rate of flame spread. So if we have higher pressure over that surface, what's going to happen to the flame spread rate?
I think we already have that question. You sure answered that before.
No, that was limiting. That was dealing with gases. We had the question about what happens with gases when pressure, when you have less with liquids. If you have less pressure, what happens to liquids? What happens to the vapor pressure of liquids? It gets closer to its lower. So at higher altitudes, the flammable limit is much more readily attained when the pressure is less. But with solid fuels, what do you think is going to happen? When you have that surface pressure on that fuel, what's going to happen to the rate of spread on a solid fuel? It's the opposite. Okay. So last, with the quiz we had where we talked about elevation, right? So if a higher elevation, that liquid fuel vapor pressure is going to reach the lower flammable limit much more readily than it does at a lower below sea level elevation. But with solid fuels, if you have that surface pressure on it and it's burning, that's going to increase the rate of spread over a solid fuel, so they work diametrically to each other. What does the charring have on what effect does charring have on a material? Again, this is one of the effects that it has. That it slows the rate of conductive heat transfer, increases the rate of conductive heat transfer, reflects the radiative heat to uncharred areas of the material, or no effect at all. So we talked about why char slow in our presentation tonight, and I showed it why char slows the burning rate down. How does it do it? What is mixed with oxidizing agents that are not capable of exothermic decomposition to cause an exothermic reaction to take place? Is it ozone, the nitro groups, reducing agents, or thermally unstable compounds? So what do you think that is? Just to give food for thought. Out of those, what do you think it is? What doesn't normally thermally exothermically decomposition to cause the exothermic reaction to take place? What do you think that might be? So, what's another name for fuel? What do we call it?
Reducing.
Who said?
Reducing agents.
So the reducing agents generally don't. But remember, highly exothermic reacting materials usually have an oxidizing agent built into them. What is needed to determine the spread of fire from one combustible to another? Is it the heat of gasification of the product, oxygen consumption in the colorimetry of the fire, thermal radiative flux of the combustibles, or limiting oxygen index of the non-combustible materials? So what is the thing we talked about? It was the big thing about this is determine the spread of fire from one combustible to another. What did we talk about that is critical in that? We use like 13.1 grams of
kilojoules per gram.
Yeah, kilojoules per gram. So what is the main thing we use to determine that? What do we call that? Oxygen something. you're on the right track. You're kind of looking at it. So what is this device here on this page? What's this measuring?
Calorimeter.
Of what? The schematic of the
cone calorimeter. That's what it says.
Yeah. So what are we using to, in here? What are we measuring in this culinary device?
The burning rate of oxygen.
Yeah. So oxygen colorimetry is what we is the consumption of oxygen per gram of fuel burned. We'll tell you the rate. And so what is the range of minimum radiative flux that must impinge on a solid to make it ignitable by a piloted flame? Is it 10 to 40 kilowatts? 30 to 75 kilowatts, 75 to 100 kilowatts, or 125 kilowatts to 150 kilowatts. Again, to ignite it by a flame or a piloted ignition source, there's a typical range that would be considered a range, and we talked about it last week. So you need to know what the radiative flux that we need to impinge on a solid to make it ignitable by a piloted flame. What is the term used? What is the term for a long string of repeated chemical building blocks? Again, catalyst, dipole, polymer, or ionic bond. So we talked about it at great length tonight. We talked about the condensation versions and all that. So what are the building blocks called?
It's gonna be a hard one, man. We'll know a lot of these.
That's why I'm doing this and gotta study this material. I told you this chapter is gonna be a humdinger. What percentage of cotton is made up of cellulose? Remember I said at the very beginning of the lecture. Is it 50%, 60%, 75%, or 90%? So you need to know that. What is the percentages? What is the temperature range required for most organic solids to reach a piloted ignition? Is it 225 to 450? 520 to 750? These are all Fahrenheits. 600 to 950 degrees Fahrenheit? Or 1,000 to 1,230 degrees Fahrenheit? So what temperature range is required for most organic solids to ignite? Because we talked about wood, but this one is now being more general of most organic solids. What is that temperature range? Again, for piloted ignition, it's not talking about auto ignition. What test has been used as an indicator of changes of flammability as the formulation of a material has changed? Is it a material flammability test, material index test, oxygen flammability test, or oxygen index test? So we kind of hit on that earlier. Remember I told you we use what indexing, what do we use as that indexing? It relates to the culminator, calorimeter thing, and what do we use as the basis of that? So
oxygen index test.
Yeah, so changes in flammability as a formulation of the material is changing or is changed. What test is used to assess the ignition resistance of carpeting? Is it a spark test, a pill test, a glue test, or a fiber test? So you should know that. That is in the book. There is a specific test for ignition resistance of carpeting. It is very specific. Which of the following are the two distinct modes of ignition of a second combustible product, solid by the initial fire? Is it radiated and thermal ignition, piloted and unpiloted ignition, pyrolyzed and absorption ignition, convective or conductive ignition? So, basically solids, we talked about what are the two means of ignition of our solid fuels. Two exact terms. We demonstrated it in class and we looked at it. So what are the two modes of ignition? You need to know that. Which of the following has the lowest melting point? is it potassium, sodium, lithium, or magnesium? The lowest melting point. By looking at the chart in the book, it will has that. Which of the following is a material? Is it paper, a mattress, a window, or an overcoat? Out of one, out of those four, one is a material. Which of the following is a product? Particle board, paper, window, or fiber reinforced composite? So remember, you need to know the difference what makes something a material and what makes something a product. Which of the following metals burns in a vapor phase? Is it titanium, magnesium, boron, or zirconium? So again, that chart in the book has all of the metals and what phases they burn in. Some burn surface combustion, some will burn in a vaporous fashion. Which of the following metals burn on the surface? Is it titanium, magnesium, aluminum, or lithium? So you need to know the metals and how they burn. And that chart will help you study for that. Which of the following oils can spontaneously ignite on rags left in the open? And these are the choices. You have heating oil, lubrication oil, saturated oil, or linseed oil. So one of those is very prone. Out of all those, it's very prone for, and we just discussed it in the class activity, certain oils are very nasty. Again, left in the open. Which of the following polymers are almost always non-flammable? Is it the totally fluorinated polymers, polyurethanes, isocyanates, or monoacrylics? So one of those, we talked about it at length in class. As part of the fire resistance, what do we do to plastics to get them to be resistant? So out of those, one of them is very, I said if you add something that starts with an F to that mixture, to that thing, it literally makes them non-combustible or very low combustibility. Okay, which of the following properties does not contribute to non-flaming combustion of a material? Does not contribute to non-flaming combustion. The material is porous. The material interior surface supports exothermic reaction with oxygen. The material has a high ignition temperature, or the material is a good insulator. So out of those four, there's one that's totally not related. All the others in that are totally related to non-flaming combustion of a material. But there's one item in there that is just out of sync with it. So those are the areas I want you to concentrate on to study for this test.